Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
Today's opening tip. Guys, it's been 260 days since Kevin Durant has played professional basketball. But look, he's on the court. He's rehabbing. He's shooting. Oh, Tracy, yes. You have been there. What is the hardest part about rehabbing from this kind of injury?
I'm telling you, man, it's just doing the same, you know, boring drills and stuff all
over. Look at that disdain.
I feel it.
Just doing it over and over for hours a day. Can't touch a ball, shoot a ball, can't be on your feet. I was just sitting in a chair and just... Why is my mind going back?
You're going all the way back. He's going all the way back to the knee injury. It's isolating, right? And that's the thing that I think has been so hard for Kevin. And the fact that at least we saw him out on the court makes a difference, right? You're with the guys?
Yes. That right there is refreshing. Like, it's coming. Like, you feel encouraged, you know, being on the court shooting again.
It's also a nice reminder for Brooklyn fans, like, yeah, you're under 500, maybe not where you want it to be, but, oh, yeah, that guy's on your team
right.
Next year. Like, that guy's coming. Like,
well, you lose one guy from eyesight with Kyrie. You're getting him back at least.
He's actually moving pretty damn well right there.
There you go. Well, don't start rumors, Tracy McGrady. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I am joined by our senior writer, host of the Lopo podcast. That's Zach Lowe. And, oh, yeah. That's the Hall of Famer, the two-time scoring champion. That's Tracy McGrady. Welcome here. Coming up, we're going to talk about Joel Embiid dropped a career-high 49 points last night. We'll discuss that as it relates to Ben Simmons' injury news. So stick around. First, though, good teams often find a way to eke out a win in a close game. Bad teams often find a way to lose. That's because each game is made up of 100 different little mini-games. Did a shot sneak in? Or was it blocked? Did a pass get made, or was it just a couple inches off on its way to becoming a turnover? Bad teams win some of those battles, but good teams win them more, which is what happened last night in Washington. Maybe the Wizards should have known it was going to be a rough night when Giannis and the Bucks, who like to enact those elaborate wrestling skits with each other, this time turned their attention to the Wizards mascot instead. Yeah, that's a lot. Poor G-Wiz, right?
Cheap shot. You don't need the championship belt to take out G-Wiz.
I'm just saying. I would say, I don't know, is this a good time or not to bring this up, but I have spent way too much time trying to figure out what kind of animal the Wizards mascot is supposed to be. Sort of looks like if Gonzo the Muppet had a baby with a troll doll. Maybe, kind of, right? Isn't it sweet?
I'm not getting into G-Wiz's parentage.
I'm just saying that's the only explanation I have right now, Zach Lowe. G-Wiz is endearing, and he did not deserve the heartbreak that was about to befall him, and neither, frankly, did Bradley Beal. The Bucks have the best defense in the NBA, but Beal was hitting from everywhere in this game. He was 8 of 13 from 3. He shot 58% overall. By the time it was all over, he would finish with a career-high 55 points, which is even more remarkable when you consider that just the night before, he had dropped 53 points against the Bulls. Even in a world of inflated scoring, two 50-plus games on a back-to-back, that's ridiculous. It's rare enough that it's only been done 6 times in the entire history of the league. And the last time anyone did it was, of course, Kobe Bryant in 2007. That Beal's accomplishment came on the same day Kobe was memorialized in Los Angeles was not lost on anyone, including Beal himself. However, as Beal noted, when Kobe did it, the Lakers won both of those games. The Wizards? Yeah, not so much. In last night's game, Giannis actually fouled out with about a minute and a half left. That should create an opportunity for Washington, but the Wizards still could not take advantage. Watch this, less than 10 seconds on the clock. Beal finds rookie Rui Hachimura looking absurdly open under the basket, but somehow Robin Lopez swooping in from the foul line to make the block. He just gets there. That pushed the game into overtime, which the Wizards actually led for a little, but again, good teams find a way. Here's Middleton with about 30 left on the clock. Chris just buries the three after a few, rough seconds there for Shabazz Napier. The Wizards would have one more chance. Seconds ticking down. Troy Brown Jr. with a decent look from the corner. The ball pops in. and out of the hoop, and that's it. Bucks win. Wizards lose. After the game, Beal was asked how it felt to have his second straight 50-plus night.
Terrible, honestly. I'm a winner, so, you know, you could throw those 55 out with the last 53.
There you go. Bill did also say he still hopes the Wizards can be a playoff team. And in the East, it's not a totally crazy thought. The Wizards are in the 9 spot right now, although they are 4 games behind Orlando in the loss column. Could they really make that up with just 26 games left on the schedule? The problem is they would need a lot of those mini battles to go their way. And as we saw last night, well, we saw just how that goes for Washington. Tracy, the man dropped 50 in back-to-back games on consecutive nights and still loses twice. Do you feel badly for Bradley Beal?
I do. I've been here before. The guy's in his prime years of his career, and he's playing outstanding right now for this franchise. And it's tough on him because John Wall has been out the last couple years. And when you don't have that other all-star, it is tough on your shoulders to deliver like this every night. And he's showing that, you know, he's having a winning attitude, his approach to the game, the way he's going about trying to get wins for the teams, and it's just not transferring over. I mean, putting up these type of numbers, you would think, you know, they result in a win.
Just one, maybe.
Just at least one. You know, so you're not far. You're 4.5 games out from the eighth spot. But if you can't, if Bradley Beal is putting up 50-plus points and you lose to the Chicago Bulls, then I don't see you getting into the playoffs. Again, being in this situation Orlando.
I was going to say, you were in Orlando and Grant Hill
was
out.
And it was just unfortunate. Grant was dealing with his ankle injury. And I think playing those 4 years, and I don't blame Grant at all. I mean, it just happened. Playing those 4 years, having to do what I had to do in order for us to get to the playoffs, it really took a toll on me, and that's why my career kind of got cut
sidetracked, yeah. Right? Absolutely. Do you feel bad for Bradley Beal?
Well, first of all, gee whiz didn't ask for any of that, let alone a cheap shot with the championship belt to the head. That seems uncalled for. Second of all, Bradley Beal is up to 30.1 points per game. I think it'd be kind of cool if he finished 30-plus for the season.
Absolutely.
I think he should go for it.
Yes.
Feel bad is strong. I understand his frustration, as you're saying. He is squarely in his prime. His co-star is injured. And frankly, given all the knee surgeries and now an Achilles tear, like, I don't really know what we should assume about John Wall going forward. If we're ever going to see John Wall as a star player again, I don't think you can say that definitively. Now, Bradley Beal does become trade eligible again in the summer. And if he really is frustrated and he really wants out, he would be not even close to the first star player to use his leverage to find a place where he can contend for championships.
But he did sign the extension before this season.
He did.
In a season where, frankly, he was looked at as potentially the most valuable trade chip of the entire year, right? If he hadn't signed the extension and was trade eligible this past February 7th, I think everyone, the bids would have come in on him for sure. He decided he wanted to stay. And part of that, in talking to him, was the idea of being the uncontested star, right? Of being the guy the offense would go through, of getting the chance to score 50-plus points on consecutive nights. He wanted that shot. He wanted to show people he was good enough to do it. But, T-Mac, the problem is you go out and do it and you don't have enough help, it doesn't lead to wins.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, he's playing great basketball, but he just doesn't have enough to result into to wins. And that could be frustrating. Yeah, you could go out, you could put up and average 30 points for the rest of this season, but if you're not winning, it really doesn't mean anything.
And there are interesting young players there. Like, I think Ruiz had a nice rookie year, Troy Brown's, but like those guys are years away from being like contributing to a championship kind of team.
Yes, absolutely. And to your point, I just don't know what we're getting from John Wall when he comes back. And we've seen with Gordon Hayward, we've seen with other guys, it's slow when you come back. It's not right away, no matter what he is. I want to talk about the Sixers a little bit more, too, because yesterday before their game, Woj reporting that Ben Simmons will be out for, quote, an undetermined period of time with a back injury. So this is not just a brief day-to-day thing. This is going to be a while. Joel Embiid promptly responded with a career-high 49 points, and here he is after the game.
Best player in the world, right?
I mean, I think, yeah, I believe I am. But when I made that statement, I didn't actually say that I was. I said that, you know, being with, you know, some of the best players in the world and I proved myself, that's what I said. But, yeah, my bad. I do believe it. you know, when I play like tonight, you know, anything can happen. And I also want to say sorry for what I did at the end of the game. Y'all probably saw that on TV. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Serena Winter's there having no problem being like, best player in the world, right? That's what you said? Just checking on you. Zach, what do you think is the bigger news for the Sixers? The Ben Simmons injury news or the fact that Joel Embiid, with Ben out, was able to deliver this kind of performance?
I think it's the Simmons injury news. I mean, you can nitpick the fit between them as much as you want, but they need all their star players to really get where they want. They need both of them. And I think, look, I think Joel Embiid is right that he has a chance to be in the conversation for best player in the world when he's at peak condition and playing as hard as he can. I think he is that dominant a defensive player. But I think start to finish this season, overall, Ben Simmons has been their best player. And he's the one reliable off the dribble kind of pace setter that they have. And if he's not healthy, it doesn't matter how many points Joel Embiid is going to score. They can't get where they want to go.
It's definitely Ben Simmons. I think if you look at what he does for this team, not from an offensive standpoint, from a pace standpoint, but defensively, he's one of the best defenders in this freaking league, being 6'10 and being able to guard multiple positions and do it at an elite fashion. You saw what he was able to do when Joel Embiid was out with his injury. I mean, he led the charge. Sixers were winning. He was playing great basketball, scoring, facilitating, rebounding, defending. Joel Embiid, if he can play this way when Ben Simmons is back, they are a championship contending team. But it hasn't been that way. He has to find, I'm not saying go out with Ben being out, go out and score 49 points. But if you look at a lot of these clips right here, where is he at? He's underneath the basket.
Well, there's more room there right now.
What you mean? Because
the other guy isn't there.
No. Well, but to T-Mac's point, though, right before Ben Simmons got injured, they made a change to their starting lineup to declutter the paint a little bit. And we just didn't, now that Ben's hurt again, we just haven't had a chance to see that. And I actually thought that was a move 100% worth trying, and I would like to see it play out.
Yes, and seemed to work until they ran into the Milwaukee Bucks.
To get where
but Simmons got injured 2 minutes into the game.
That game. Yes.
They're going to need Ben Simmons.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, the Heat have lost 6 of their last 8 games. Is there a cause for concern in Miami? We will check with the driver of the bandwagon.
Rev it up.
Next after this. First, though, it's time for today's Distant Replay, brought to you by Marathon. This one, guys, is from this date in 2009, featuring Gerald Wallace.
Whoa, okay, G-Dub.
Reaching from behind. Oh, boy. That was just casual with it, too.
Light the creamsicle Bobcat uniforms on fire.
That is just pretty close to being
matched. All the whole Bobcat-related paraphernalia should go.
The Jump is presented by Michelin Silicone Wiper Blades. Designed for extreme performance and last 2 times longer.
And whenever you're ready.
He's a make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league.
Make, miss.
It's a make or miss league, baby.
Every time.
Okay, baby. Make journeys. Grizz Clippers. Paul George all alone. Maybe a bit of
traveling.
A travel.
BG?
Just a tiny little bit of a travel.
But welcome back.
Look at that. 1, 2.
Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4.
We need rules. Why do we have rules? Who cares? Why have any rules?
There you go. Definitely a travel. Patrick Beverly. Not afraid.
He calls it like it is.
Yeah. Patrick. There you go. He calls a lot of faith.
But welcome back.
Just admire it. Look at that.
Admire it for what it is.
Stay with us to the end, baby.
The majesty. The travel. Miss overtime. Let's take a look at Magic Nets. Aaron Gordon comes up with a big block. This sealed the win for the Magic.
Okay. Holding on to that A spot we are down in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. So would you rather, T-Mac, when you're playing, have a game-winning dunk or a game-sealing block?
Give me the game-winning dunk.
Yeah. See, in the end, it's still more fun.
I want the block.
Why?
Because if a dunk means probably somebody made a mistake, whereas a block, like, that's a heroic play. You're saving a mistake happening.
You're saving the day.
Yep.
Swatting away.
Either way, you are the hero.
Yes.
So what?
There you go. This was nice for them and certainly good for the Magic. All right, make bang outs. Let's go back to Staples. Kawhi driving in. Now, he does not travel kids. Packs it in with the left hand. So, Mac, we were wondering, is he the best lefty dunker since you?
Yeah, I have to give it to him.
Right?
I use my left a lot.
Yeah.
Although I'm a righty.
The mean face you just made there.
He was pretty mean when it came to
baseball. But you know what's crazy? The reason why I use my left hand is because I'm stronger with my left when palming the ball. That's why.
How is that possible?
I don't. It's just.
You were a right-handed pitcher or left-handed pitcher?
I was right-handed.
See?
But gripping a basketball, I'm stronger with my left hand.
You're putting me into Ben Simmons territory here. I don't know what to think.
Oh, yeah. I assume we're talking offhand lefty dunkers because the lefty just won the slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meaning.
Just to be clear.
Yes. We are.
Miss Jealousy. Joe Harris gets free in Barclays and nails the wing three. Check out the Nets bench. Right?
That was nice, guys, but, I mean, my Magic guys won the game.
I'm just saying. Wow. It was a lot of this. You had the Tiger fist pump. Clearly, it's like a thing because they all looked at him.
It's a Joe Harris.
Right? Yeah. So, boom.
I think it's good. I like it. I'm all for these synchronized bench celebrations. Let's have fun. It's basketball.
I love the Nets bench and would like them to have a nickname. It really bothers me that they
almost 20
don't.
At that point. I see why they were celebrating.
Look,
okay.
I like that. You're really into the race for the 8th seed.
All right.
He's supporting his guys.
I hope they can hold off the
evacuations.
Bulls.
Suns, Jazz. Look at this. Kelly Oubre dunking on Rudy Gobert last night.
Hey, Kelly Oubre has been balling this year. I got to give him some props.
Right?
He's been doing
it. He's put up some.
Thing. Yes.
Look at him.
He dunk on him.
Look at that.
Really? We going to say he dunked on Rudy right there?
First of all, he's going to hurt his
knee. First of all, he got up and dunked, and Rudy was the one.
Now, that's a dunk on.
I'm just worried he's going to hurt his neck snapping it like that.
The
in the
bodies.
I mean, he's getting his whole body.
Bodies this year.
He's a top. Tommy Poppy does nothing halfway.
Top five trash talker in the NBA right now.
Yes, which is funny because we had him on the show, and he's chill in person. He's, like, so cool. He's got the chains. He's got the whole thing. And then out on the court. He goes.
Yep.
Same. All right. It's now time to talk about the up and down Miami Heat. They were as hot as their name would suggest until a few weeks ago. Last night, they dropped a road game in Cleveland after blowing a 22-point lead. They now lost 6 of their last 8, including games to the Kings, Blazers, Hawks, and now last night, the Cavs. Zach, are you starting to worry about the Heat? You, the driver of the bandwagon.
Bandwagon is just proceeding as usual. Nothing wrong with the Heat. I'm not worried about the Heat. Jimmy Butler's missed a couple of these games. They're integrating some new players. I mean, look, the Heat after the trade deadline, I think we're in that mix with Toronto, Boston, Indiana, Philly. There's the bandwagon.
Tough schedule.
And I think that they're probably a little bit behind Toronto and Boston now, but like that's kind of who we thought they were. And when they get Jimmy Butler back, they'll be better and they'll have a chance against those teams.
No, I'm not worried about these guys at all. Number one, they're well coached. They're a disciplined team and they play hard every night. What happened over the last few games? Well, they added 2 new players, Iguodala and Crowder. Jimmy Butler, like he said, has missed a few of those games, so they're just trying to figure things out. I'm not worried at all. I think they're going
to
be fine.
I do think teams like this have to win the games they're supposed to win, though, right? If you're a team that's not with the most elite talent and you want to be up there in that conversation for best teams in the East, part of what you have to do is win the games that you're supposed to win, like last night.
It does, like, to your point, though, it does look more and more like we're locked into Philly-Miami in 4-5 in the first round, or Miami-Philly 4-5 in the first round.
So I'm not mad at that.
Well, and they're in Milwaukee's bracket, right? That's your punishment for that, is you're in Milwaukee's bracket.
But as a fan?
Oh,
Philly-Miami? How fun would that be?
That would be very fun.
Very physical series.
There we go. I do feel like we're now at the time of year we can start really talking about matchups and tickets and stuff like that. And the race for this within some of the both conferences is going to be really good. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about Jason Tatum because he's really young, but he's already really good at the basketballing. Is he a budding superstar? Are you ready to put that on him? We will break it down next.
You're watching The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
Wednesday on ESPN, we're fast and cooking around here. An NBA doubleheader tips off in Houston for Grizzlies Rockets at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Ooh,
and then,
yep,
Celtics Jazz, 2 good games. Coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame sports center, 7 o'clock on ESPN and the app. Welcome back to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, still joined here by Zach Lowe. Tracy McGrady. And guys, the Rockets beat the Knicks last night. It was their fourth straight win. They are now 8-2 since going all in on what's smaller than small ball? Micro ball. There you go. T-Mac, are the Rockets proving everyone wrong?
I mean, it looks good right now. I think out of those eight teams, Utah and Boston are pretty, only two pretty good teams that they have beaten during this stretch. It looks good right now. James is back playing great basketball. Russ is being efficient. I like it during the regular season. However, in a seven-game series, I don't know. I just think coaches are too smart. I think they have a game plan to negate James's penetration, Russ's penetration, because that's what, if you have a player like James, you have a player like Russ, and then you have three shooters spread it out. I mean, when these guys drive, they're banking that you help to kick out through these shooters. So James doesn't have the outlet with Clint Capella lobbing the ball out now, anymore. So it's going to be very imperative that defenses play solid individual defense to keep the guy in front, because if you let these guys get into the teeth of the defense and you help, I mean, they're surrounded by more shooters now that you know, they don't have Clint Capella out there.
They also beat the Lakers.
Oh, and the Lakers. That was the first game.
Yeah. And their only two losses are a buzzer beater against Utah by Bogdanovich and against Phoenix when Russ did not play.
Yeah.
I don't understand why everyone threw such a tantrum about this. Like, they're breaking basketball. They're just playing the way they've always played, with just out of center. I mean, it's the same. James is driving, right? It's helped Russ a lot. And, you know, the stats that you guys had up there before, it's going exactly according to plan. They're third in offense. They're 12th in defense, which is, like, good enough.
Right.
Good enough. The one red flag, they're 29th in defensive rebounding, which everyone said was going to hurt them. But
they knew that. They said they were just giving up on it.
And here's how they're making up for it. They're forcing the second most turnovers in the league, and they never turn the ball over themselves. So they're going in, like, eight possessions ahead in all of these games. But to Tracy's point, I do wonder, you get to the playoffs, you're no longer catching anyone off guard. You're no longer catching anyone on their third game in five nights. They're just going to be dialing in to prepare for you. And I do think there's a diminishing returns. But look, the Rockets are really good. They were really good before, and they're really good now.
I'm not sure. Like, it's not even just catching them off guard. It's not like the teams they're playing now don't know this is what they're doing. But if you're playing 80 games against a different style, shifting everything just for one night, you know, doesn't make as much sense. We're in a playoff series. It does. I worry about P.J. Tucker. Just that man is taking a battering, and I hope he can make it through.
I spend no time worrying about P.J. Tucker.
Playoff run.
Indestructible.
I saw him that night after the trade deadline when he was playing here in L.A., and I asked him if he was going to keep, like, you know, those pads on the knees, whatever, as a salesman in business, and he said that he had just placed some new order. So there we go. It should be fine. James Harden is playing well under this. Russell Westbrook is playing well. It's not, though, James playing as well, Tracy, as we thought maybe he would be playing at one point this season. I want to bring back a wager that was made earlier between you two. Let's take a look,
man.
When it looked like maybe James Harden could cook historically.
And this is crazy that I'm thinking this way. I actually think James Harden might average 40 points this year.
Not with Russ, sir.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you.
If he averages 40 points a game, and I realize how dangerous this is for me to say, you can pick any restaurant you want. Any restaurant you want,
wow.
And I'll take you out to dinner.
Okay. Don't be surprised.
I do like Zach's look there. The Rockets now 57 games in, Harden averaging more than 35 a game, but not quite at 40 there. Zach, how do you feel? Tracy, how do you feel?
I don't feel as excited as Tracy is about that lobster. in that
ladies and gentlemen that are watching this show, I throw in a towel today.
It's over.
So I walked in yesterday, and Tracy very diplomatically said, "What restaurant do you want me to take you out to dinner?" I said, no, I'm the moron that made a bet that was one-sided. I could only lose. There was no stakes for you, so you don't have to do anything.
Right.
But it was very diplomatic of you to offer.
I was close in the beginning, right?
Well,
you were nervous a little bit, right?
It was like 39.5 you got up to at one point, I think.
Yeah. So this was not out of the realm here.
No.
But again.
Look, I just ordered a salad there. I'm trying to save a little money.
Right?
I'm offering you some of that lobster. You know,
not really, though. You're just taking it for yourself. Yeah. I see how that is. By the way, there's two lobsters on that plate.
I told James during the All-Star game, I said, bro, I should make you pay for the dinner because I had you averaging 40 points. I made a bet on that. So,
I'm going to guess he didn't just step up there with a wallet, but I don't know. We'll see. Jason Tatum, let's talk about him because he had himself a great game on Sunday. Dropped 41 points, 5 rebounds versus the Lakers in a loss. Now, he played so well that LeBron even took to Instagram about it. Here is the quote. That boy to the left of me is an absolute problem. Keep going, young king. All right, so we know Jason Tatum is a star. He had that phenomenal rookie season where we all thought, man, he is about to catch fire. Almost got to the NBA Finals, 7 games against LeBron James. Had some great moments in that series. Are we now watching him possibly becoming a legit superstar?
Yes, we are. I think he's making the leap to superstardom. And I don't remember the last time in a season, in the middle of a season, we all sort of collectively witnessed together like, ooh,
this
guy's figuring it out. It might have been Kawhi in his first year is transitioning to a real, real superstar. I think that the Jason Tatum we've seen in the last month has a chance to be a top 10, top 5 player in his career. And that changes everything for the Celtics later and even now, because now he's kind of forced a hierarchy onto their team. Like, they have all these guys who need the ball, this and that, and how's the mix going to be? No. Now they have a number one guy.
Yeah.
He's the number one guy. And that helps, right? In the playoffs, you got to know how it goes.
It's in the making.
Yeah.
And what is this, third year?
Mm-hmm.
It's that time.
It's
that time. Before, it took a little bit longer when I was coming out because we didn't get the ball handed to us right away. It took some time. We had to go through a lot. But now these guys coming out rookie season, they're playing 35 minutes, right? So they get in the feel for the game. And his third year, he's blossoming into a superstar. You could just see the confidence over the last month. I went and watched when they played Houston. I mean, this guy was fantastic. The moves that he's doing, the individual, the creativity on the basketball court. You could see he's extremely confident right now. And he's separating himself from the other players on the team to let everybody know he is that number one option and he is that guy. So I need to see it in the playoffs. I don't want to give him superstar right now until I see what he does in the playoffs.
He seems to like the big stage, though, to your point, and always has since he was a rookie. He's a really good defensive player, which I think people were slow to realize. He's a really good defensive player. The next step for him is how good of a passer can he become? Can he become a 5-assist, 6-assist a game kind of guy? Because if he gets that without sacrificing a lot of his scoring, then you have a super duper star.
Yeah.
I give him a lot of credit too, because last season was not easy. The problems in Boston overall are well documented. But even with him specifically, remember all the noise he was hearing about, man, you're shooting too much, you work with Kobe, too much ISO, all the criticism. And obviously he got caught in some of the crossfire with the chemistry issues with Kyrie Irving. And the fact that he was able to have the presence of mind to not let that derail who he thought he was as a player. He knew he was a star. He knew he could continue to develop. And we have seen that. And I give him a lot of credit for that too, because some young guys, when it's all crashing in on you, it sets them back. And with him, you know, he didn't develop the way we quite wanted him to last season, but clearly has not set him back in any significant way. He is the real deal. And you will see him this Saturday. I love this matchup. Our next NBA Saturday primetime game, the Rockets are heading out to Boston to face the Celtics. Our coverage tips with The Jump. We are your pregame show on ABC, 8 o'clock Eastern. You can also always watch on the app. T-Mac, you going to be there?
I'll be in the building.
Woo! Rockets Celtics, you don't want to miss it. Coming up, Patrick Beverley was back in action for the Clippers last night. We will talk about how important he is to their success right after this break. And here is what The Jump recommends for today. This is on the app. Baxter Holmes has a piece on the intersection of emotion at the Kobe Memorial yesterday. This was such a meaningful event. They did a beautiful job with it. And Baxter does a great job explaining just how it came to be. Check it out during the break. All right, after missing the previous 5 games, Patrick Beverley returned to the Clippers last night. The Clippers had their full healthy roster. And it made a statement, right? Now, the Grizzlies are in the 8th seed. It's not a contention for the title, but still, they outscored a very hot Memphis team 40-14 in the first quarter alone. Beverly's importance to the Clippers, very evident when you look in the numbers, guys.
Wow.
The Clippers are 31-10 when he plays this season, 7-9 when he doesn't. So, T-Mac, how important is Pat Bev to the Clippers' long-term success?
See the numbers right there, but the guys are all defensive first team type guy. I mean, when you miss that out of your lineup, he sets the tone, right? I mean, you're talking about Pat Bev, PG, and Kawhi Leonard.
can all be first team all defenses.
First team all defense.
Yeah, like, I mean, to miss that out of your lineup, you're missing a lot. The toughness, setting the tone on the defensive end, you're just getting in the opponent's face. I mean, he's the energy setter.
To T-Mac's point, with those three on the floor together, the Clippers are plus 12 per 100 possessions, which is a monster number.
Monster.
And when you, so the Clippers have four guards in their rotation. He's by far the best defensive player among those four. Mm-hmm. When you put him on the floor with those other guys, like, good luck. You can't score. And by the way, very quietly, he was ice cold from three for the first month of the season. He's up to 38%. He's been over 40 in the last 3 months. A 3-and-D point guard next to those guys is exactly what they envisioned. And the last thing, he's maybe the best rebounding guard in the whole league, and when they go down to Harrell at center, they need rebounding from everywhere.
Right. So, look, it was an impressive win last night. They have had some troubling losses in the last couple weeks. There are people who are jumping off the Clippers bandwagon. Where are you?
I just don't understand why we get all crazed over, like, oh, the Clippers have lost 4 out of 5. And then you look, oh, PG didn't play that game. Kawhi didn't play that game. Three other rotations. Like, when their full team actually shows any sign of weakness, wake me up. But these other losses, when they're load managing everybody or whatever you're supposed to call it now, I don't care at all.
First of all, just look at their records when they're a fully healthy team. I mean, they rarely lose.
I think the concern is that people thought they would be a more fully healthy team more of the season. There was the expectation that Kawhi Leonard would take care of that knee, but the Paul George injury time has worried some people that once we get to the playoffs. Now, I will say this. I think, and I'm just speaking from the feeling of being around the team, that they are treating Paul George the same way, say, the Raptors treated Kawhi last year, of if it's the smallest, littlest thing, they are going to sit him. But he's had small, little things, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. Obviously, they would prefer everyone to be healthy. And I do think with 20-whatever games left, they would like to get rolling. They would like to see how Marcus Morris looks with all their key players. Mm-hmm. Like, that's important. But I just can't get, you know, crazed about a couple losses without one of the 10 best players in the NBA.
Yes, and when it's playoff time, as we saw with Kawhi and the Raptors last year, they play. There were some games Kawhi looked like he was hobbling up and down the court until the last bit of the fourth quarter, and then there you go. And I would expect that from both Kawhi and Paul George in this postseason. I know Doc Rivers expects that as well. You said that he feels calm, cool, and collected.
I think everyone, like the Clippers brass before the game last night was kind of like saying, we shouldn't just fold up the tents like some people. Everything is all right.
It's going to be okay. Exactly. Right. We'll talk about the other LA team after this break. LeBron James and Zion Williamson are going to go head-to-head for the first time tonight. How excited are you for that matchup? First, though, it's time for our second distant replay of the day. This one is from this date in 99. White Chocolate, take it away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Jason Williams. Oh, if you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball.
Look at him.
Legendary
with ball. Hair, too. Oh, that's so tough. Hair flowing, Manu-like.
Oh, yeah. That is purple jerseys. Everything about that is exciting.
That was so good.
All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump.
What we got?
I don't know how emotional it was for everybody in that arena watching on TV, but to be at her age, with all that she has going on, obviously her connection with Kobe and with Gigi and all the weight of that, and to have to give, you know, a speech in front of 19,000 people that are all mourning, is unbelievable. She spoke so well, shared her story and how much the Bryant's family means to her, and now she's out here representing them the best way she can by playing her heart out.
Steph Curry said it well. Such a busy day for Sabrina after her beautiful tribute. Traveled to Stanford to play in front of the stars. Russell Wilson, Sierra there. Steph Curry dropped another triple-double, leading the Ducks to another top 10 win. Mac, how impressed are you with her game?
That's got to feel amazing. You know what I mean? Like, you got Steph Curry, Sierra, and Russell Wilson sitting sideline, checking you out. You must be somebody.
Yeah. Like, first D1 player, male or female, to get 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 1,000 assists.
Like, she had a hell of a day. And like he said, I mean, to stand up there and speak in front of 20 people under those circumstances, knowing you have a game later, and to go out there and compete, I mean, shout out to her, man.
talk about on the other end of the emotional spectrum, Jeremy Lamb out for the year with a torn ACL and meniscus. The game he got injured in, the Pacers lost by 46, guys, to the Raptors. Zach, how badly does Indy need a win tonight against the Hornets?
First of all, best wishes to Jeremy Lamb. That stinks. He's a good player, and it just, you never, it yeah. just stinks to see that. Nobody really badly needs a win in the top six in the East. Like, the level of urgency for a regular season win when it's you guys and then a giant chasm and then Brooklyn and Orlando and then another.
Hole.
It's not, it'd be nice. Okay. I'm sure the dinner afterwards will be like happier if they win. I don't think it's really that big of a deal.
I agree with you on that, brother.
How about a little morale? How about a nice win at home to get everybody, man, I don't
sure.
know. I'm trying to sell it. The Jazz recently won 19 out of 21 games, but then, they lost 8 of 12. Last night, they lost by 20 at home to the Suns. So who are the real Utah Jazz, guys?
Who are the real Jazz? I mean, for a stretch there, they were playing amazing basketball, executing, playing great D. They was getting contributions from everybody. Clarkson was playing out of his mind for them.
It was a great fit.
And I don't know where it went. Like, they need to get that back if they want to do anything in the playoffs, because right now, it looks like they'll be matched up against the Rockets, and they don't want that matchup.
That's not historically been a good matchup for them.
I think they're 12th in defense now, which just isn't good enough. And they just, you know it when you see it, when a team figures out its identity and everyone is comfortable in their roles. And they just, with the exception of that one hot streak, they just haven't had that.
I want to talk about the Pelicans, because heading into their matchup with the Lakers tonight, they have been hot. They have won 6 of their last 7. They're only 3 back of the 8th seed. So, Tracy, what percentage would you give the Pels to make the postseason?
I give them a 60% chance of making the postseason.
Okay.
Portland right now is, what, right behind them?
They're all Portland, San Antonio Pelicans are all tied in the loss.
Damian Lillard's out for a while.
Yeah, Dame is out. I think that's what's really going to hurt Portland. But having them at full strength and the way they playing, and one of the best offensive teams.
Look at that bottom category there.
And they have the easiest schedule. Yeah,
so
easiest schedule.
Here's what people aren't saying, though. First of all, the Spurs and the Blazers also have 32 losses, so they're effectively tied. Mm-hmm. The second and third easiest schedules in the West are the Spurs and the Blazers. So the Pelicans aren't the only team with an easy schedule. That said, I'm going even higher. I'm going like 75%.
Ooh.
The nerds at 538 have them at 68%. I'm going to go higher. They're already 2-0 against Memphis, so they're very likely to get the tiebreaker. They swept the Blazers. They have that tiebreaker. And with Zion in the fold, they're just good. Like, they have a lot of really good NBA players. They're a good team.
And don't forget, with the Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. is out for a little bit, and he is such an important part of that team. It's going to make not only the end of the season interesting, it's going to make the Rookie of the Year race an interesting discussion, because if Zion helps the Pelicans overtake the Grizzlies...
Are we going to have this fight again?
Well,
we're going to have this debate again.
I don't know if we are, because the Joel Embiid, Malcolm Brogdon argument, which is what we got into a couple years ago, was a different argument. Malcolm Brogdon did not have gee whiz, oh my God, I can't stop watching him numbers or watching his rookie season, which made Joel Embiid, even in his 31 games, more of an attractive contender.
Is it possible?
John Morant has had an oh my God rookie season, but if Zion knocks him out of a playoff spot, it's going to at least be a discussion.
But will he have Zion, I'm speaking of, we have 35 or 40 games under his belt.
So the most he could have is 37.
Yeah,
there's some back-to-backs in there. Again, the way I always phrase it, in the Joel Embiid, Malcolm Brogdon conversation was, would you rather have Malcolm Brogdon for a full season that year, or would you rather have had Joel Embiid for 31 games that year? And if you look at the numbers they both put up, I would have rather have had Joel Embiid for those 31 games. Now, if you look at this matchup, John Morant puts up some crazy numbers. Plays like a house on fire, so athletic, has given that team so much spirit and leadership. It's a different comparison.
It's going to be hard for him to overtake Ja to me.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be hard, given the games played.
Well, I know Zion Williamson from talking to him at the All-Star break. What he really cares about is overtaking for a playoff spot. If they do knock the Grizzlies out of that 8th seed, he said that Ja can have the Rookie of the Year. Let's talk about the team that they would likely face if they do get to the 8th spot, the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, that is who the Pelicans face tonight. We will see the first head-to-head matchup between Zion and LeBron James. So, T-Mac, what do you expect as these two boys go at it?
I don't expect anything different than what I've been seeing. I mean, I expect Zion to be who he is and dominate the paint. LeBron James, he's going to be who he is. I mean, we're looking at
two of the most unique players in NBA history. Like when Bron first came in, there was nobody really like him at his size, his athleticism, his basketball skills. And Zion comes in. We've never seen anybody at his size and being able to jump and have that type of athleticism that he displays. So it's going to be interesting to see if those two match up with each other tonight, how Zion is able to handle LeBron out there on the basketball court. It should be fun to watch.
If you line it up position by position, the starting fives, Zion's going to guard Anthony Davis, which in itself is a really interesting challenge for him. I do hope we get 10, 15 possessions where they're matched up together. Yes, that would LeBron, be a lot of fun. And one of these games, I told you during the break, he's going to pull down the whole basket like Shaq. Like every time he dunks.
He came with the Rising Stars game. He tipped the basket. The rim went like that.
I'm talking like Stanchion falls over. People are running for cover.
Like,
I hope
Shaq's
not.
Career.
I want to just say, if there's one guy that can do it, it's Zion.
Now, LeBron's 6'8", so he's got, 2 inches over Zion. But as we've seen, it just doesn't matter. Zion can jump over anyone.
Very
and
strong.
The strength should be so interesting. You got the veteran canniness on one side. You've got the explosion of youth.
Can't wait.
And like you said, they need all the Pelicans need all these games. And this is the first round series everybody wants to see.
Yes.
I mean, this would be a crazy playoff series.
Yes, except for maybe the Lakers.
Ratings.
Could influence that tonight. Our league pass game of the night is Celtics Trailblazers. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern. Boston third in the East. Portland 2.5 games out of the 8th spot in the West, as we were just discussing. Now, Dame Lillard still expected to miss that game. He has a groin injury. T-Mac, should the Blazers start thinking about the lottery?
No, not at all. They still have C.J. McCollum. I think they have enough to at least stay afloat and, you know, keep it close and striking distance until Dame Lillard gets back.
Yeah, they're tied in the loss column with these other two teams. They're not going to stop trying to win with Dame and CJ. Go for it.
Don't throw it in. They got a chance.
There you go. Jump returns tomorrow. These guys, thanks for joining me today. We'll see you later.